Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Big talk, big opinions, the panel.
Yeah, welcome into the panel. Joining us today, Lavina Good. How are you, Lavina?
Morena, mate. Nice to speak to you. I'm good, Guns. Nice to chat.
Yeah, good stuff. And Sarah Cowley Ross joins us as well. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm great, thanks. Talo Falava, great to be on the panel today.
Yeah, great to have you, man. Thanks for doing this. I want to start with you, Sarah, because, of course, you are a former New Zealand Olympian, so it feels right to start with you and the legacy of Sir Murray Halberg, who passed away yesterday at the age of 89. What did he mean to you as a New Zealand Olympian?
Well, I think Sir Murray, his athletic achievements are phenomenal in their own right, you know. The gold at Rome, the golden part of that amazing golden hour. But for me, actually, one that's probably not talked about as so much is actually he was the first New Zealander to break the 4-minute mile. Mm. So he was a trailblazer for so many athletes, not just track and field as well. And I think that, you know, he did all those things with a paralysed arm. And so the function of his upper limb. But I think his achievements on the track, well, it's his achievements off the track, which really transcends sport and the thousands and thousands of kids that have benefited from the Halberg Foundation and have been given an opportunity to do sport. So for me, as an Olympian, I'm just in awe of his achievements on the track, off the track, and just thoughts go out to the Halberg family and those really affected by Sir Murray's death.
Yeah, well, I talked to Joseph Romanos earlier today, Lavina, on the show, you know, and we talked about, he said he was quite a stoic guy. He wasn't a guy that really put himself out there, but he was a guy that was excited by the underdog to help people. That was really his passion. And I think that comes across because, you know, he, as an athlete, did so much. He achieved so much, you know, the gold medal in Rome over the 5,000 metres, but so many other things, Empire Games medals, as it used to be called as well. But what we really remember him for is what he gave back to New Zealand.
Yeah, I agree. Sarah made a really good point. Obviously, being an Olympian, he's had a massive impact on her life. And I think there's so many kids out there that you don't have to get to that Olympic stage to benefit from someone like Sir Murray Halberg. I mean, he won the 5 world records as well. We can't forget about that, and the 2 gold medals at the Commonwealth Games. But just literally a legend in his own time, and his legacy will be remembered forever. And I think what he's done for disabled children, both in society and in sport, will stand out for a very long time. I have a son that runs a lot, and he has aspirations to, you know, do great things for New Zealand at one stage. And we've always spoken really highly of Sir Murray Halberg. So very sad day when he passed on Wednesday. And I agree with Sarah. Let's send out some lovely messages to his family and let them know that his legacy will remain here in New Zealand for many decades to come.
Sarah, I know that Sir Murray was part of the Olympic delegation for a couple of games. He was part of the Chef de Missions crew to come out and just talk to young athletes at Olympics. Did you ever have an opportunity to meet him, to sit down and talk to him?
I didn't have an opportunity to sit down in one of those situations. I did have the opportunity to meet him at a function briefly. And what I was really... I guess my immediate thoughts were a humble hero who achieved so much, but in his presence, you felt that he was present. And I think that in itself is a real gift. And I think that's a gift that he's given to so many, like Lavinia's alluded to. And, you know, not only sport, but disabled kids, you know, that aren't engaged in sport as well. And I think that, you know, we have been so lucky in New Zealand to have a man of his stature grace our presence.
Yeah, indeed. And Lavina, I don't think it can be understated, you know, when you talk about him as an Olympian, and then what he did for the physically disabled as well, what his impact must be even today on our Paralympic team, which has always been so successful.
Yeah, very successful, and it took someone like Sir Murray Halberg to set that up in the first place and encourage the rest of New Zealand to support them in their on their journeys and what they're trying to achieve. And yeah, he was ahead of his time, and I had the pleasure of meeting him once, and he's a very, I wouldn't describe him as stoic, but certainly a humari, a very humble man that didn't want the accolades. He didn't want us talking about him, you know, like we did Lydiard and other people that, you know, were trailblazers when it comes to promoting sport, etc. But he certainly felt for others, and he realised he was very fortunate. I had a journo friend tell me yesterday that he nearly died in a rugby accident at the age of 17 and was scarred for life from that and had to pick up a different sport. And, you know, just to think that, you know, that could have happened to him, and he decided he would always give back, and he never, ever, ever stopped giving back. And that's why I think we will remember him for a long time, because he gave back so much to others, despite the fact that he won the gold medals at the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games. He was a giver, and he didn't want notoriety for it, a very humble man. And very sad news that he passed.
Yeah, very sad news indeed, the age of 89. Let's move on then. Let's talk some better news. The New Zealand Breakers, Lavina, back on top. They are having a fantastic season after really three seasons in the doldrums under the new ownership. That model obviously didn't work initially. Then it was interrupted by COVID, and they had to deal with all of that. But they've really turned things around now. And they lead the Australian NBL by three games over the Sydney Kings.
It's been a while between drinks for the Breakers, and I think at the start of the season, lots of questions were being asked over team culture and whether or not they would be able to be successful in the competition. They certainly love playing in Christchurch, I know that. They love beating Melbourne Phoenix, and that's one of their favourite home courts. But it is evident now to me, Ricardo and Sarah, that they're in a good place in terms of team culture. And that wasn't evident a couple of years ago, where they remained in the doldrums. So, you know, we had the new owner come in, which turned things up a little bit. And there were some changes and recruitments. And initially, lots of people were questioning as to whether or not this would be the right thing. But they're talking with their performance on the court at the moment. The main thing for me with the Breakers that I've noticed over the last three or four games is defensively, they've been impeccable. And I really do believe that was an aspect of their game that they didn't really have on point, and that's why they weren't finished. They never have issues scoring points. It was stopping the opposition from scoring them. But they've developed some defensive structures with some in-house coaching and with some guest coaches as well, and I really think it is paying off. And you know, the fans keep on coming. Basketball is, you know, one of the fastest-growing secondary school sports here in New Zealand. You can put a lot of that down to Stephen Adams and what he's achieved overseas, but I really do believe that they need to ride that wave of success to continue getting our kids on that basketball court. And I spoke to Stephen Adams once, and he said a really interesting thing to me, and he said, put them on the court and keep them out of court. So the more kids that we have playing basketball, keep them occupied doing that, the better it will be. And the more the Breakers win, the more kids will want to play, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it from Stephen Adams. Sarah, you know, we have seen that the Breakers really seem to struggle under Dan Shamir's. I guess the term that's been used around coaches like him nowadays is autocratic coaching style, Modi Mayor, but much more of a man manager, and we're seeing the benefits of that.
Yeah, I really like Modi Mayor and what he's got to say, and I particularly like to, he's alluded to Lavinia's points around defence, and he's very, very tight on defence wins championships. And as you can see, they are going great guns. And what I see when I'm looking at the Breakers is that they're enjoying it themselves. Now, winners are granted, but it seems like they've got a real shift in the culture. They're enjoying being on court. And part of that, I think a huge part of that, is actually being able to play in front of their home fans and bring basketball back to New Zealand, because the last few years has just been a nightmare for team morale on the road, constantly away from families, and not knowing when they'll be able to get back. And so I am so excited about what the rest of the lead-in now for the Breakers looks like. I think that Motu Maior has got something really good going. I'm excited to see the guard, Barry Brown, had a great game last night, 31 points, and if they can just hold that defence strategy. And the other point I like about him is he's never satisfied. Like, he's very complimentary, but he's like, we're not there yet. And I think that someone who's constantly striving for that, not necessarily perfect game, but perfect performance, is someone that I would want to play for.
Yeah, always striving to be better, but you very much seems to have them all pulling in the same direction, which is superb. It is 10:30 here on SENZ Mornings with Ian Smith. This is the panel with Ricardo Ball. We'll be back shortly to continue that on after the latest in news and sport with Araha Hathaway.
Big talk, big opinions, the panel. Talk
to me, yeah. 25 away from 11 here on SENZ Mornings with Ian Smith, Ricardo Ball in for Smithy, brought to you by Brandt, your local John Deere equipment supplier. And joining us on the panel, Sarah Kelly-Ross and Lavina Good. And Lavina, let's go to the NRL. The new Warriors jersey, the new logo on the front that looks like, well, as I've heard it described on a few social media platforms, a portal to another dimension. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I know. There's plenty of chat about the jersey. I don't even know if that's the actual jersey. I know it's been leaked, and yeah, it's about this time of year that all the concern is raised about what the Warriors will be wearing next year. And for me, as a part-time Warriors fan, Ricardo, that is the least of my worries with the Warriors for 2023. Yeah, I think I'm really... Andrew Webster's going to be great as the new coach for the Warriors. I know he's spent that time with the attacking platform with the Panthers, and I liked how he's come out and said, I'm not in a place at the moment to introduce those same theories and techniques with the Warriors because they're just not the same team. And I went, whoa, buddy, that's why you're here. We want the Warriors to be the Panthers, so let's crack on with that. But I found that interesting that he said it's a different team, a different culture, and I'll approach it in a different way. But one thing that has also made me really interested about Andrew Webster is what he's going to do with Dylan Walker. And I wanted to know whether or not he'd be starting in the centres, whether or not he'd be in the halves with Sean Johnson, or what was going to happen. And it seems as though he's decided that Dylan Walker will don the number 14 on the back of whatever jersey they'll be wearing and will be that replacement player that can slot in the centre and the halves or just about anywhere else you see him. So the purchase for 3 years of Dylan Walker will see him start on the bench for that first game against the Newcastle Knights. I think that's really, really interesting, and that means he's showing his face into Mighty Martin to play in that halves role. I'm really glad the Warriors are playing the Knights first up, and it's not too much of a crash-bang game for them. They'll be playing at home and hopefully get some points on the board early. But lots of questions will be answered of Andrew Webster as he embarks upon those first few weeks of rugby league with the Warriors next year. I'm really looking forward to the season, buddy.
Yeah, no, so am I. Really looking forward to it from a Parramatta point of view, at least. Now, Sarah, if that big glowing globe on the front of the new Warriors jerseys is a portal to another dimension, we can only hope it's a dimension in which the Warriors can win a premiership. So fingers crossed that that happens. But what have you made of what you've heard from Andrew Webster? I mean, because one thing that we have seen in the past is Australian coaches come here and struggle to deal with the culture. So it's encouraging to hear him talking like that.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I'm impressed, like Lavinia said, you know, we do need change. Like, you know, you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting the same result. What we all want is a premiership. First and foremost, let's get to the top eight and let's go through every round. Regardless, you know, maybe the portal could be the way. I don't know. But actually, let's see the business on the field. What I think in terms of Australian coaches coming here, I think that the support of Craig McFadden is going to be really crucial in knowing that cultural difference and having those key senior players in the team to really foster that leadership group to deliver on the field. And, you know, we keep the faith as Warriors fans. But let's make it 2023 their year. But let's get some wins on the board early.
Yeah, well, indeed. And something that we haven't seen very often, Sarah, is the NRL make a decision that actually makes sense. But I think they've been quite sensible here. Laurie Daly's been blocked from joining Manly's coaching staff because he does a breakfast show on a station that is owned by the TAB over there. And the NRL Integrity Unit believe that it might be, you know, It's just not a good look, I guess you would say. What's your take on that?
Oh, I think it's a sensible decision. Look, there's no strain. Like, the NRL have had massive integrity issues, and let's just clean up where we can clean up. And being really open about the process, being open and direct about it, and having action, I think is good for the fans. In terms of match fixing, is a huge international problem across all sports. I operate mainly in the Olympic kind of world at the moment, and it's huge, and it will continue to be huge, and we need to ensure that integrity is at the forefront of creating as even level playing field as possible, if that's such a thing in sport when you're talking about humans versus humans. So I think bravo for that that action that the radio station has taken.
Yeah, there you go. Lavina, what have you made of the NRL's decision not to let Laurie Daly take that position at Manly? And is it at all influenced by your hatred of Manly being a Parramatta fan?
I'm still gobsmacked that we can say NRL integrity in the same word. It's going to be the same sentence. It's NRL integrity unit. I mean, they've been busy bees in the past. But, you know, there's lots of issues, I think, with the NRL in terms of integrity that they need to take responsibility for and promote the game in a better place. They could start with Mad Monday and stopping everyone getting absolutely shit-faced on a Mad Monday after they've played their final game of footy. There's a few other areas they could do it as well, but obviously Laurie Daly will bear the brunt of that, and it was a brave decision to be made because, you know, with the NRL, Ricardo and Sarah, we all know, like many sports, money talks in sports, and it comes down to television broadcasts and who you can get to do what. And in the end, this radio station commitment has seen Laurie Daly miss out on that position. And it might be a move forward in a positive place for the NRL, as they say. We try and clean up the game as most as up as possible. But it will be interesting to see how things unfold throughout the year. And that NRL integrity unit, I'm sure, made up of a whole lot of ex-players that show a whole lot of integrity, will be busy for sure throughout 2023.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think there's a lot more to come on that front. Hey, Sarah, Lavina, thank you very much for your time on the panel today. Much appreciated. Good to chat to you both. Go well and have great weekends.
Sweet as. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
There we go.
Thanks so much.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Lavina Good, Sarah Cowley-Ross with us here on the panel. It is 18 away from 11 o'clock.